Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 12 Seconds in the Dark. A police officer's firsthand account of the Breonna Taylor raid is a nonfiction account by former Louisville Metro Police Sergeant John Mattingly. Positioned between memoir, institutional defense, and public controversy, the book presents Mattingly's version of the March 2020 raid that led to Breonna Taylor's death and the national backlash that followed. Rather than offering a detached journalistic history, it is written from the perspective of an officer who was directly involved, was wounded during the operation, and later became a figure in the wider public debate about police conduct, media framing, and protest politics. The book is significant not only because of the event it addresses, but also because it attempts to justify, contextualize, and reinterpret one of the most discussed police operations in recent U.S. memory. As a result, it functions as a first-hand narrative about a highly contested incident and as an argument over how that incident should be understood. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a first-person defense of the raid from an officer inside the operation. The book's central structure is personal testimony. Mattingly writes as a participant who was on the scene, injured during the raid, and later forced to defend his actions in public. That perspective matters because it is not a neutral reconstruction. It is an attempt to explain what he believes happened during the event and why the raid unfolded as it did. Readers should expect a narrative that emphasizes split-second decisions, uncertainty, and the pressures faced by officers executing a warrant at night. This framing gives the book its core identity. It is less about abstract policy debate than about how one officer interprets the same event that others condemned. The value of this approach is that it reveals how those involved in a controversial police incident understand their own conduct, especially when that understanding clashes with the dominant public account. Secondly, reframing Breonna Taylor's death through police procedure and operational context. A major purpose of the book is to place the raid inside the logic of police work, especially narcotics enforcement, warrant execution, and perceived threats during forced entry. Mattingly's account reportedly stresses that the operation was part of a broader investigation and that the officers believed they were responding to suspected criminal activity. This matters because the book tries to move the discussion away from a simple moral headline and toward procedural questions: what information officers had, how warrants are executed, what risk they perceived, and how those factors shape decision-making. That does not settle the larger debate, but it clarifies the framework from which the author argues. For readers, this section of the book is important because it shows how law enforcement narratives often rely on operational context to explain actions that the public experiences primarily as tragedy or injustice. Thirdly, a dispute over truth, narrative control, and competing versions of the same night, the book is also an intervention in a battle over interpretation. Public reporting and later commentary made the Breonna Taylor case a symbol of police violence, systemic racism, and flawed policing practices, while Mattingly argues that the public narrative distorted what actually happened. The book, therefore, functions as a contest over credibility, whose account should be trusted, and how much weight should be given to officers versus journalists, activists, lawyers, and outside commentators. This is one of its most important dimensions because it shows how high-profile incidents are not only judged in courts or internal investigations, but also in the media sphere, where language can harden into consensus before all facts are accepted. By foregrounding this struggle, the book becomes a case study in how institutions and the public compete to define reality after a traumatic event. Fourthly, policing under national scrutiny and the personal fallout of public controversy. Beyond the raid itself, the book addresses what happens when a local police incident becomes a national political symbol. Mattingly's experience reflects the wider consequences of being pulled into protests, criticism, lawsuits, and media attention. The book appears to describe not only the physical injury he suffered, but also the professional and personal strain that followed, including the stress of public condemnation and legal conflict. This dimension gives the book broader relevance because it illustrates how controversial police actions can reshape the lives of individual officers long after the incident ends. At the same time, the book implicitly asks readers to consider the human cost on the law enforcement side, even when public sympathy is focused elsewhere. That perspective does not erase the gravity of Taylor's death, but it does expand the lens to include the aftermath for those who carried out the raid and became objects of sustained public judgment. Lastly, a politically charged account aimed at readers skeptical of the mainstream story. The book's tone and positioning place it firmly within a partisan information environment. It was marketed as a corrective to what the author sees as a corrupted or incomplete media narrative, and this shapes how the book should be read. Its audience is likely to include readers interested in police defense arguments, critics of protest-era framing, and those who want a first-hand account that challenges dominant interpretations of the case. That also means the book is important as an artifact of the post-2020 political climate, when police conduct, racial justice activism, and media trust became deeply intertwined. Its strongest contribution is not that it resolves the controversy, but that it documents how one participant in the raid understands the criticism directed at him and at law enforcement more broadly. In that sense, the book is as much about narrative conflict and public legitimacy as it is about one night in Louisville. In conclusion, 12 Seconds in the Dark will be most useful to readers who want to understand the Breonna Taylor raid from the perspective of an officer directly involved, as well as those studying how public controversies around policing are narrated, defended, and contested. It is especially relevant for readers interested in law enforcement memoirs, media criticism, public accountability, and the politics of major social protests. The main benefit of the book is not that it offers a neutral summary, but that it exposes the reasoning, self-justification, and emotional burden behind a controversial police account. That makes it valuable as a primary source perspective, even for readers who do not accept its conclusions. Compared with other books about the Breonna Taylor case, this one stands out because it is not written as a broad investigative history or policy analysis. Instead, it is a participant's firsthand defense of events that became nationally symbolic. For that reason, its importance lies in how it captures the clash between lived police experience and the public meaning attached to the raid. Readers seeking balance, controversy, and direct testimony will find it distinctive, even when they approach it critically. If you would like to support John Mattingly, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.